across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's another beautiful day up north. It is Tuesday, June the 6th. 65 degrees here on Lake Wissota, 57 down in Waukesha, 54 in Hayward, 63 in New Richmond, and we'll get a full weatherology forecast coming up just over an hour from now. Another good morning and welcome to our new listeners in stations including La Crosse and the Chippewa Valley and Hayward and elsewhere. In the Chippewa Valley, we're now on the tap 93.5, a few technical hiccups yesterday, but we're well on our way. Also on YouTube for the first time, we have our live feed running there as well. Just go to the Up North News YouTube feed. Always, as always, search for Up North News WI on social media, and you can watch us on our Facebook and Twitter pages as well. But mostly, we appreciate you being right here on the radio, on all of these Civic Media radio stations. Coming up on the program this morning, Republicans in charge of the Wisconsin legislature had an interesting set of opinions on what should be done with Milwaukee, and that the differences couldn't be more black and white. They said no to one thing and yes to another, and we'll have details about that. Christina Laurie will have a Wisconsin food-themed version of The Uplift, our weekly recap of some of the more uplifting stories she puts in our daily newsletter. In our second hour, protecting the pollinators, we'll hear from State Assembly Representative Lee Snodgrass of Appleton, who's asking her colleagues to again help protect pollinators from pesticides and other threats so that bees and other pollen collectors can keep doing their part. And they do their part, supporting millions of dollars in crop production all across Wisconsin. Then tomorrow morning, we will be hearing from Congressman Mark Pocan. And we'll also have our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff. So a lot going on today and tomorrow. Along the way, your phone calls are always welcome, 844-967-2789. Or you can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And again, as for the live feed that we have on various sites, if you're watching on one of our Facebook sites, you can put a comment below the live video. We'll see it here. And if we like it, we'll put it up on screen. You can catch us on the Up North News Facebook page, Civic Media, and Bull Falls Radio, our Civic Media station in Wausau as well. Aaron Zommers is in Madison, continuing at the current and soon to be the former facilities of Civic Media as a new global headquarters facility is being constructed, a state-of-the-art facility at the top of State Street, right near the state capitol in Madison. But for now, he's still in that little broom closet on University Avenue. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, the new place is so close to being done. Almost everything is ready to go except the production booth. So
the one place where you have to sit.
Yeah. Every aspect except for live shows is already there.
And that's good because yesterday was a busy day logging on to several different stations. I mentioned, you know, there were hiccups here and there as we tried to get everything up and running. And thankfully, we're making lots of progress on that. It was a very full day. I'm sure it will be for the engineers and everybody who helped grow the Civic Media group here. One thing I think you probably noticed early on, especially since you have to get up earlier than I do, is we always talk about Alaska, you know, being the land of the midnight sun. But with that current full moon that we have, wasn't it? It was almost like our version of the midnight sun there. I mean, in that it never got really dark. I mean, you could clearly go for a walk last night with that full moon all night long.
Oh, definitely. It made it difficult to want to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have to do that now because we do go to bed rather early. And yeah, it's not only the blackout curtains, but yeah, you have to completely shut the bathroom door and the bedroom door, because otherwise, you know, enough sunlight is still out there, you know, at 8:30 creeping in there. And it feels a little weird, but you got to sleep. That's last I heard, that's highly recommended for morning radio show hosts and producers.
Typically helpful if you want to be at all coherent.
But here's what made it so hard. The lilacs around here are in full bloom, the purple ones. I think the white ones came and went in the past week or two. And, I mean, they're just amazing. And I have to say, there are a lot of things I liked about being a state legislator. One of the things I actually liked most was knocking on doors and meeting people, but especially at lilac time, because you would just come around a corner, you know, in some community someplace, and there'd be a bunch of lilac bushes there, and it would just hit you, and I probably look goofy as all heck, but you just kind of stand there and just take it in. It's great. I love that part of the season.
I'm sure you're not the only one. So if anybody thinks it's goofy, all they have to do is follow their nose.
That's right. Which is different than the other thing that you get in the springtime, and that's pollen. And I forgot to mention this yesterday. I talked about how we spent all of Saturday up on the lake, around Lake Wasota, and then went up river up the Chippewa a bit. But a front came through near the end of the day, and it was, you know, it only had some, you know, very isolated pop-up showers in there, but it was still a little front nonetheless. And when it hit, the wind really picked up, and you could see a yellow cloud of pollen blowing off all the trees and into the river. I mean, it was stunning to see how much the volume of pollen that came off the trees all at once.
For me, when I see something like that, stunning is not usually the word I go to. It's typically terrifying.
Agonizing.
Due to seasonal allergies.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody was doing a quick check on their Claritin and their Allegra, but it was quite nice nonetheless. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to tell you what's in this morning's newsletter from Up North News and have some more headlines for you. Coming up in just a bit, you're Up North.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Pigpen? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Pigpen, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Pigpen. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
This, of course, would be C.W. McCall, who's about to tell us about the date today.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading
so
for
there you go.
On
dark
I
of the moon on the 6th
on
of June, although I think
town.
We just got done explaining that it really wasn't that dark out at all. But again, it's there, and there are a couple of other history notes and a little music lesson for you coming up at 6:50. And we're going to give away Brewers tickets again. And since we didn't get a winner yesterday, because we couldn't get anybody close enough to Milwaukee who wanted to go to a game Wednesday night, who knew that UW-Eau Claire's athletic team was called the Blue Golds, that we'll take those two tickets and we'll make it four tickets today. We'll give away four tickets to tomorrow night's game against Baltimore. And you can call in for your chance to win. We'll try another question. We'll see if we can get somebody who would like to take three friends along to a spur-of-the-moment Brewers game coming up tomorrow night. The Brewers themselves avoided, well, shouldn't say avoided, the Cincinnati Reds avoided a sweep. The Brewers won the first three games of the series, but then were shut out 2-0 yesterday. The bats went silent and ruined a pretty good start from Julio Teheran for the Brewers here. And as a result, and I think our listener Roger tells us this, yes, he posted the Facebook as well, that in doing so, losing yesterday, the Brewers fell out of first place. They're now a half game behind the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates have won their sixth in a row. But as Roger notes, the Pirates are also playing the Oakland A's, who last I checked here are, 12 wins and 50 losses. So the Pirates are feasting mightily these days, and the Brewers are in second place, at least for a day. They come home now and have three against the Baltimore Orioles before, let's see, who's in town after that? Oh, the Oakland A's. Look at that. We have a chance to maybe even things up or even get back into the lead there in the National League Central Division. So, again, listen for your chance to get tickets to Wednesday's game coming up in just a bit. And you can hear the Brewers on a couple of Civic Media radio stations in the Fox Valley. That would be Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM. If you're closer to Richland Center, listen to news from the center at 107.7 or 1450 AM. All right, the Up North News newsletter came out at 5 a.m., as it always does, and it includes some notes from Christina Lori. We will hear from her more at 6:30, but the newsletter includes the Oscars of the Food World, the James Beard Awards, and a pair of Wisconsin chefs brought home a James Beard Award. Itaru Nagano and Andrew Kroger of Fairchild, that's the name of the restaurant, in Madison, won for Best Chef Midwest. They have quite a story. They opened their restaurant just 2 weeks before the COVID-19 pandemic shut it down. They were able to ride it out and reopen. And so Christina makes note of that in the newsletter. You'll also find my editorial on Pride Month in Wisconsin. And among the social media links that Christina puts in there, and I think we may talk about this tomorrow, a Southeast Wisconsin man has more than 200,000 followers on TikTok, known by the handle Average Piano Guy 8. He creates various music pieces with his piano, such as the top 10 most iconic piano intros of all time. So give a think about that, and maybe tomorrow at 6:50 we'll do that. If you don't get the Up North News daily newsletter, you can rectify that going to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the top banner, and you will be on board and getting all kinds of good information on a daily basis. The Wisconsin legislature is considering the state budget. Again, not the entire legislature yet. It's in something called the Joint Finance Committee, which by Joint Finance Committee, meaning it's made up of assembly representatives and state senators. And they've had some interesting choices that we've been talking over the past few weeks. And another one was noted by Milwaukee area media, which I thought was worth sharing statewide just as an example of where our legislature is right now. The Joint Finance Committee, the Republicans on there, have slashed so many proposals for the state that we're still trying to track them down and share them with you so that you know what could have been done with a record budget surplus besides, you know, tax cuts for the super rich. I mean, I don't even know if we got into the rejection of a new building for the UW-Madison College of Engineering. I know I have an editorial about that coming out in tomorrow's newsletter, and the utter foolishness of turning down an expansion of the College of Engineering and essentially letting the other Big Ten schools eat our lunch when it comes to recruiting the best and brightest and creating the jobs of the future and keeping that jobs pipeline open in Wisconsin. And instead, for the second straight budget cycle, the Joint Finance Committee said no to that. So that was one of the rejections that we've been noting. But one of the lesser covered stories we found out courtesy of Tom Dakin with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is that Joint Finance Republicans scrapped a request for a state grant of $5 million. Frankly, in the scheme of a state budget, an afterthought, $5 million is. And that would have supplied 10% of the funds needed to develop an arts facility in Milwaukee, an African-American arts and culture facility. According to Dakin's reporting, Bronzeville Center for the Arts, a nonprofit group, is planning to demolish a former DNR building, which it has already purchased from the state, and build a 50,000 square foot facility featuring exhibitions, education, and immersive artistic programming. Because heaven forbid the politicians who seem to exist only to dump on Milwaukee help contribute anything towards ways to enhance the community. Oh, but wait. Republican legislators did show support for spending millions on Milwaukee, not $5 million for an art center, but some $10 million of your tax money is going to be spent to promote, wait for it, the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee next year. If there were ever more of a black and white difference between spending priorities in the state legislature, I don't know what else would illustrate it. Meanwhile, a school district in Waukesha County has figured out a novel way to deal with anxious or confused students, students who face an increasingly vocal population that's willing to criticize them over race, over gender, over some highly personal issues. These are students looking for a safe space. They're looking for a sign that inclusion is encouraged and that diversity is celebrated and that racism and sexism and homophobia can take a flying leap. So what is the Arrowhead School District's novel idea? get rid of the signs and the flags and the other symbols of safety and tolerance. I mean, brilliant. Way to go, Arrowhead. In the down is up world that pretends to be blind to color, creed, and anything not gender normative, the school district has the audacity to say that anti-racism signs and rainbows are, and I swear I am not making this up, that these symbols of inclusion are, quote, divisive propaganda. And so that's why they're considering banning these signs about safe spaces, these signs about being against racism, are the things that are in a policy being considered by the Arrowhead School Board. Meanwhile, in Menominee Falls, also in suburban Milwaukee, they're dealing with another kind of budget issue, one that apparently in some people's minds says, you know, we can't keep spending money like this on the community. We can't deal with buying and allowing people in our community to read books. Again, I wish I could tell you I'm making that up, but Menominee Falls is considering closing its public library. A village board rep on the library board said, according to reporting by Corey Hess with Wisconsin, with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, said that Menominee Falls is, quote, an affluent community capable of buying its own books. Now, dozens of people did appear before the Menominee Falls board to keep the library open, stating rightly, far better than I could, the not just the foolishness of that kind of position, but the cruelty and what it takes for some people to not understand that no matter how wealthy a community is, no matter how well off they are, libraries represent so much, not only to those people who don't have the means to buy their own books all the time, but as a gathering place, as a place of learning, as a place to read books that you don't necessarily want to buy, that you want to try out, and of course, all of the other resources that a library represents. I don't know that there are many other things that capture the mindset of a certain portion of the conservative population more so than considering closing libraries. If that's what you think is worthy of your time, I'm not going to say you think libraries are the, you know, the enemy or that there's something hostile about them, but if your time is spent there in a time when our young people need more of these safe spaces than ever, but you want to close the library and you want to ban the anti-racism signs, all I can really suggest is that your house maybe needs another mirror someplace where you can take a closer look at it, look closely at it, and ask yourself how you came to be somebody promoting the closing of libraries and the banning of signs with rainbows that you want to refer to as divisive propaganda. One more story to tell you about. I don't know the exact number of court cases Donald Trump lost while falsely claiming that there was fraud in the 2020 election, but former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice and Special Inspector Michael Gableman is probably closing in on the Donald's total. Even though Gableman was fired 10 months ago from his alleged investigation into Wisconsin's 2020 presidential election, the office he once headed has lost another effort to avoid accountability and transparency. When Assembly Speaker Robin Voss appointed Gableman to, quote, investigate the 2020 election, the former right-wing justice seemed to spend more time in court defending himself in public records lawsuits than in chasing down any so-called irregularities. The progressive watchdog group American Oversight has been leading the charge to keep Gableman's investigation out of the shadows, and on Monday, a judge in Dane County ruled against Gableman's former office in its motion to dismiss a lawsuit by American Oversight. The lawsuit was filed to ensure that, quote, the special counsel's office does not delete any of its records of what it was doing when it cost Wisconsin taxpayers more than $1 million to find nothing. We'll have more to say about that in our next hour. But first, we'll pause here. We will then bring in Christina Laurie, who will tell us about some of the uplifting stories with a food theme to them, because who doesn't love food in Wisconsin? That's coming up after this. You're up north.
Well, they ought to know what to do to them hogs out there for sure. Well, mercy sakes, good buddy. We're going to back on out here, so keep the bugs off your glass and the bears off your...
Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep. Make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend now.
We're back now, and it's time for our weekly review called The Uplift, some of the uplifting stories that you'll find in the Up North News daily newsletter, or our social media posts, or our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Said newsletter is put together by Christina Laurie. Good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks so much for having me back.
You bet. Today and this week, our uplifting theme is food. I can't think of many more uplifting things than that. We talked plenty about people and places and events, but let's get to things that are more, what, gastronomic, whatever the word is. It's too early in the morning for that. And if you're going to categorize Wisconsin food, you could do worse than Wisconsin restaurants that have been featured on the Food Network. Tell us about that.
Yes, a lot of times we turn to Yelp for our reviews, but the Food Network is really the gold standard of the culinary scene to many people. You know that when Guy Fieri rolls up in his 1968 red Camaro, that place is going to be good. So we've been compiling a list, and we'll be sharing one restaurant every day in our newsletter all month long, all of June, of a different spot in Wisconsin that's been featured on Food Network. Now, most of the shows have been featured on what we call Triple D, Drive-Ins, Diners, and Dives, which is Guy's show. Mm-hmm. But a few others have been featured on Good Eats or other more state-specific programs. So I just wanted to share a few of them with you, Pat.
Sure.
So one of the restaurants that made the list, it makes a lot of lists because there's not many places where you will find goats on the roof. That's
yes.
Johnson's Swedish restaurant up in Sister Bay. So that's a really unique Swedish restaurant. They serve breakfast all day long, which is just my personal favorite. And if you've never been, yes, there really are live goats grazing on the roof. They are treated humanely. They only work up there a few hours a day. And if you're curious, you've never seen it in person and want to check it out first, you can go to that restaurant's website and check out the goat cam. So they have a camera, you know, looking at the goats every minute they're up there.
Well, let's be clear here that the goats are on the roof. Is there any goat on the menu?
No, there is not.
See, now that's a pity. Goat stew is awesome, but okay, we can go get our goat stew someplace else.
I do wonder how they feel about seeing their other animal friends on the menu, though. There is lots of bacon.
There is that. What else do you have?
Also on the list is Anchor Bar in Superior.
Oh, I've been there, yeah.
Baumgartner's Cheese Store in Monroe. They are known for their Limburger sandwich, which is very, very controversial. Have you ever tried Limburger cheese, Pat?
No, and we talked about it on the show the other day, marking the start of June Dairy Month, and that, you know, we see if I remember the statistic, about 49% of all, you know, designer cheeses, you know, not your basics, you know, are made in Wisconsin, but 100% of all the Limburger in the country is made in Wisconsin. So we know what state it's coming from, but that doesn't necessarily mean a lot of us want to try it, but clearly some do.
Yeah, I am curious if it tastes all right, because I do like Havarti cheese, which does pretty strong smell. I lean into my Dutch roots with that one. But moving on, also on our list is Brian's Cocktail Lounge in Milwaukee. That's Milwaukee's oldest lounge. So it's a miracle that it's still standing, literally, because on St. Patty's Day in 1971, a little fun fact for you, a fire completely gutted the lounge. It even melted the cash register, but they restored it, and they're still serving their classic ice cream cocktail, the Pink Squirrel, which was invented there. So that's why that made the Food Network's list. And just two others to mention, Cassetta Kitchen in Madison. I live in Madison and I can attest that this is a delicious place. They're known for their sandwiches. And you may be wondering, what is so magnificent about a sandwich? A sandwich is a sandwich. You must not have been to Cassetta because they have the most locally sourced ingredients. You've just never tasted meats and cheeses like that. And all their bread is made in-house. All the sandwiches made fresh to order. They're absolutely delicious. And then regardless of where you live, you probably have access to this ice cream near you. It's the Chocolate Shop Ice Cream, which is also headquartered in Madison, but it's sold at so many restaurants. You can even pick it up little pints at grocery stores across the state. They're known for their super premium ice cream. And then, of course, on the label, they have their funny slogan that says, if you want nutrition, eat carrots. They won't give you the calorie count for a reason.
It's delicious
for a reason.
So all of these places are Wisconsin grown and highlighted on the Food Network. Yes, I've been to Cassetta one time down in Madison and can vouch for the sandwiches there as well. But our other item is taking us to that staple of Wisconsin restaurants everywhere, the fish fry. And Christina, I don't know how you get away with this, but you've quite frequently put up fish fry related articles. And it's almost like fighting words for some folks when you say, where's the best fish fry? But what we're really giving, I would assume, is a public service. We're giving you all these potential options.
Yes. And if you are really curious where the absolute best fish fry is, you're going to want to ask 42-year-old Mike Seidel. We did it for you. For the past two decades, this guy, he lives in Viroqua. He's eaten fish almost every Friday for dinner and often lunch too. He joked that you only get 52 Fridays a year, so why mess with anything else? True. And so far he's written almost 1500 reviews from different Wisconsin restaurants of the best fish fries. He has a website, madisonfishfry.com. Although I do just want to put in the point that that name is a little misleading because he travels all across the state sampling fish fries. And he ranks everyone on five different factors: the fish, the potato, the tartar sauce, the bread, and then he leaves 0.5 open for miscellaneous things like unusual sides, secret ingredients. Does it have coleslaw? That's bonus points for it. So I guess I want to ask you, Pat, which of those five factors really makes or breaks a fish fry for you? Are you in it for the fish itself, the sides, the sauce, the carbs?
I'm almost entirely in for the fish, what they choose, how they batter it, how they cook it up. I can let a lot of other things slide because I can get a lot of things elsewhere. I find, not to get too far off on a tangent, but coleslaw, I was not much of a coleslaw eater until the couple of years that we lived in the Caribbean. And I was asking Sherry one time, why am I loving this coleslaw so much down here? And she said, because it's sweeter. It's got more sugar in it compared to most of what you get back home, which is kind of more on the vinegar side. And so now I've been very intrigued to try coleslaw at all these different places. But, you know, the fact remains, you got to start with a good fish foundation.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm usually in it for the sides. This is controversial, but I don't love regular white potatoes. I love when fish fries come with a sweet potato. Not for any health reason. I just personally think it tastes better. And maybe it is for that sweet element too. I really do like the sweet with the saltiness of the fish and especially like the breading on the fish.
And I will say as well that when it comes to Mr. Seidel, we first were introduced to him in one of our very first articles about food for Up North News. It was published in February of 2020, where we first told folks about madisonfishfry.com, that he had been doing this since 2004, starting with an Excel spreadsheet. And it's so nice to hear that he's still at it and still doing those reviews and that people can get an update on the Lord's work that he is doing to get us the best fish fries.
Yes. And if you're curious what he ranked number one, his pick is Dorf House Supper Club in Roxbury, followed closely by the Bluegill at Stolly's Hog Alley in Oconomowoc and the Cod at Owl's Nest in Poinette. But again, you can find all of those shared in our newsletter coming up this Friday. So if you sign up for that, you'll have access to that full list.
On Friday, see what she did there with that. So when you were mentioning, you know, these food articles that were coming up, it made me think there was something I wanted to do a follow-up on with you. And sure enough, it was just before the first of the year, you did an article entitled 12 Wisconsin Restaurants to Put on Your 2023 Bucket List. And you took 12 restaurants and you allotted one per month. And so the question has to be asked of you, Christine, as to whether you have been to any of these in the month that you suggested them for. After all, we're in June. And do you happen to remember what your June recommendation was?
I don't. Can you remind me?
Al Johnson's in Sister Bay.
No, I was actually just talking to my parents. I would love to make a little summer road trip up north. I've never been truly up north. As a girl who grew up in Chicago, I embarrassingly thought up north included Wisconsin Dells, which moving here, I was quickly told that is incorrect.
Yeah, so wrong. But that we can forgive that because, again, everybody from Illinois, they eventually find their way up here and they bring money, which is great. So, you know, you buy the fish fry or you go see your goats in Door County or things like that. So I would, again, recommend to people, if you just go to the Up North News website, go to any of the, you'll find on the front page, you'll find no doubt an article about food. And then there's something called a category right above the headline. It might say community. It might say politics. It might say business, but some of them say food. Just click on that word food and you'll be taken to every food article that we've ever done at Up North News. And you can go find not just the recent work by Christina, but all kinds of work. And you can go follow up and you can send us your notes that say, hey, you know, this place is even better. This place has changed. Consider this place. We'd love to have suggestions. I'm sure you wouldn't mind a few emails suggesting what we should be talking about next.
And Pat, I just did a quick tally. I'm doing pretty well. I've been to 5 out of the 12 on this list. We are only in the 6th month out of the year.
Well, there we go. All right. So we're going to bookmark this just to make sure we do a pop quiz by the end of the year. But in the meantime, if you do have recommendations, not just on food stories, but any stories overall that are rather uplifting and help remind us about all the good things about life in Wisconsin, away from the daily news cycle and all of our daily job duties and everything else, Christina Lorre. Her email is Christina Lorre, all one word, and Lorre is Lorey. That's Christina Lorre at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, thank you so much.
This was fun. Thanks for having me back, Pat.
All right. So now we take it to one Aaron Zommers to get his own review of favorite fish fries. Are they in Madison? Are they in Manitowoc? Have they been elsewhere? Aaron? Fish fries.
Let's see. One of my favorites was at Repke's, the supper club, either in or around Chilton, I believe, that I know Dr. Lyerly has talked about before. Mm-hmm. I've been there one time. I got their Friday fish fry, and it was tasty. But I'm also a fan of the Shoe Factory, which is kind of a hole-in-the-wall dive bar. I don't remember exactly where it is. It's in the Valders area, and it's Shoe as in S-C-H-U-H, the last name.
Oh, sure. Like the last name, like Schumacher or Shoe. Right. And yeah, not because I was going to say a restaurant called the Shoe Factory doesn't strike me as a place I would necessarily go, but
yeah, okay. Not really. But what about you?
For me, I just live across the bridge here from the edge on Lake Wissota, and they have a great Friday buffet where they offer it both baked and deep fried. And I do love it. Deep fried. And I was going to ask you if it matters the type of fish, you know, cod or haddock or, you know, perch or walleye, or are you pretty much, you know, whatever's on the menu? Is it more about the, you know, how they make it rather than which fish it is?
I like to mix it up, try different ones every now and then. But mm-hmm. I will say the best fish fry is fish that you've caught yourself.
Oh, yeah, I can totally see that, which is why I don't have that very often, having not fished in quite a long time. But boy, if you can get kind of that shore lunch with you know, your crappies or bluegills or what have you. Yeah, that is good fresh stuff. What about you? What do you like to catch and make up?
Yeah, bluegills, perch, some walleyes. Usually that's what we end up getting.
We haven't given any love to the smelt yet. So give it up for the folks on the eastern side of the state who really enjoy that. Today's history lesson and a break for music as well before we get back into the news of the day. Coming up in just a bit on Up North News Radio, you can find everything that we do at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll be back.
Can't you see? Can't you see?
Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married.
This was the number one song on June 6, 1964 by the Dixie Cups. It was a Phil Spector Wall of Sound production, and it was the number one hit in the country for 3 weeks. Also on this day in history, 1933, the first drive-in movie theater opened in Camden, New Jersey, which is why this is National Drive-In Moving Day. I'm trying to recall the last time I was at a drive-in movie. Aaron, do you have any recollection of, or was that just no longer a thing for you?
I think I've been to like two. One, I was just old enough to remember that I went to it, not old enough to remember anything about what movie I saw. Mm-hmm. And another one was more recently in maybe 2016 or 17. There's a drive-in movie theater in Chilton, or at least there was at the time. And what did I see? I saw The Secret Life of Pets and Star Trek Into Darkness, neither of which I particularly wanted to see because I hadn't seen the previous Star Trek reboot movie.
Mm-hmm. I can't recall. We took our daughters, who are of course now in their 30s, but when they were little girls, we took them to a drive-in someplace because we knew they had a nice playground up at the front so that you, if they got disinterested in the movie, you could still see them on the playground as you were watching the movie. But my big takeaway from drive-in movies was that, you know, and I'm not trying to find fault with my mom and other parents, but they would mix things up in that there would be something that was kind of geared toward the kids for like the first movie, maybe even the second movie, but there was a second or third movie that was decidedly more like R-rated or something, you know, thinking that the kids would be asleep or right. What have you. And I distinctly remember a movie called Lady Sings the Blues. I believe Diana Ross was in that one. And again, definitely not something, you know, family friendly. I'm not saying it was porn or anything, but it was definitely the kids movie going, okay, I'm going to cash out. And there were one or two others, I think, that are like that too. So you gotta know your audience at the drive-in theater there. But anyway, that's what makes this drive-in movie day. I think put this on Aaron and let you know, I'm going to give you the question for the Brewers tickets now. But Aaron's also helping me with the music segment. So if you call in with the answer to this question, let the phone ring because, you know, we'll let you know if we get a winner. But again, we have 4 tickets to tomorrow night's game at American Family Field. And the first caller in with the correct answer at 844-967-2789 can get them. So long as you haven't won within the past 30 days, so long as you can have the tickets emailed to you. And so as long as you can use them, they're really good seats. So again, we're going to go up north for our question because we know most people who would, you know, snag these tickets are probably closer to the Milwaukee area, understandable. So let's see what you know about life up north. There is a giant fiberglass animal ready to greet you in Hayward, where you can climb up 4 stories into the mouth of this 140-foot beast and have your picture taken at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. What kind of animal is it? 844-967-2789. Tell us the right answer as to what that animal is, and you could get 4 tickets to tomorrow night's Brewers game at American Family Field. All right. Number one on this day in 1980, it was actually a soundtrack from the movie Urban Cowboy, which had all kinds of, shall we say, mellow country hits, including this one from Johnny Lee.
I was looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love.
This was the day in 1980 that Urban Cowboy first came to theaters. This Western romance film starring John Travolta and Deborah Winger, with hits from Kenny Rogers, Mickey Gilley, Ann Murray, and more. Again, this day in 1980 was when the Urban Cowboy movement started up, and why some of your parents still have bolo ties and cowboy hats that they haven't worn since the early 80s. You will recall the old Supremes hit from 1966, You Keep Me Hanging On. Only those of us in a certain generation are more familiar with the second time that that song hit the charts, and it was done by Kim Wilde on this day in 1987. On this day in 1992, the Guns N' Roses music video for November Rain debuted on MTV, clocking in at 9 minutes. It set a new record at the time for the most expensive music video. It cost $1.5 million to produce. Most of the budget was dedicated to building a church in the desert so that Slash could play his solo in front of it. All right, one more note of history to tell you about, because attention must be paid on what happened 79 years ago today, D-Day, the Allied invasion of Normandy. It was the largest seaborne invasion in history as the U.S., Great Britain, and its allies pushed to get a toehold back on the European continent and eventually defeat Nazi Germany. More than 150,000 Allied troops crossed the English Channel, and more than 5,000 landing and assault crafts, minesweepers, escort vehicles, supplemented by paratroopers, untold number of pilots. All told, more than 4,000 men gave their lives before the day ended. They are heroes whose debt we can never repay, except, of course, to not let Nazis and fascists weasel their way back into power again. And hard to believe, next year will mark the 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. Scott from Madison is on the line and apparently knows his giant animals. Scott, what's that giant beast you can climb into up in Hayward?
That's a huge muskie.
That's a huge muskie, yes, and not far off the actual size of some of the things you can catch up there. Scott, hope you can use 4 tickets to tomorrow night's ballgame.
Can do, and they've also got a Bigfoot in the museum.
I hope so too. All right. Yeah. Scott, thanks for calling in. Have a great time at the game. Appreciate you being here. All right. And let's see, we've got a little time for Mark from Prairie du Sac that wants to come back to our topic of the Arrowhead School District looking to get rid of, you know, rainbow signs and anti-racism signs and things like that. Mark, good morning.
Well, it's just incredible. I can remember 1979. I was in college at the time, but that the Muppet movie came out. There was a song, The Rainbow Connection, that, and, you know, that the kind of the capping line of it is, someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, lovers, the dreamer, and me. But Jim Henson apparently sang that song in Kermit's voice. But it just is remarkable to me. I'm scrolling through the headlines today, but apparently down in Texas, a teacher was getting disciplined for actually teaching her students about their constitutional rights.
Yeah.
And the Constitution. It is just, what the hell is going on with these people? I mean, that, as you said, I mean, it's the ugly head of fascism raising its head, because, I mean, what was it, Hitler about saying something about when they hear the word culture, they want to reach for the guns, and that is just is.
Oh, yeah.
It's sad. I mean, a friend of mine's father actually was a D-Day glider pilot.
It is. I appreciate that. I've run out of time. I've got to get to the news and tell you that State Assembly Rep. Lee Snodgrass is coming up next here up north.